conference. I should have started at 1:30, and I have a window till 1:30. So what I'm going to do is take the testimony and listen to it and discuss it somewhat. And then from there on, if I get off at 1:30, then I'll have to make a decision of what I'm going to do the rest of the time, which will probably cancel the balance of the meeting for this afternoon. So the only bill I'm going to hear right now is committee substitute for House Bill 345. And that bill is privileges of driving and obtaining a license to penalties, etc. I wish to apologize, but I have no control over it. Also, the other meeting is bad. There have been two other committee meetings canceled today, too, because of the schedules of the Finance Committee and the balance of the senators in the other areas. So you have to go to Finance now, so you can be excused if you wish. But I do want to take that one bill, and if you don't wish to stay for any of the rest of it, why, feel free not to stay, but if you care to listen, that'd be fine with me. I leave it to your discretion. It's like saying I'm going to sing a song and everybody gets up and leaves. Can't blame you.
Oh, okay. It's not. They're just going to take testimony right now.
All right, Anchorage, do you copy?
They come in later. I've got the plan.
Anchorage, are you online?
Yes, we are.
Would you tell me who's in attendance, please?
Commissioner Barnett is here, Alan Bailey is here, and Barbara Mills, President Matt, is here.
Okay. We've had some problems getting the committee together. What I'm going to do is take your testimony. You're talking to just me and some people in the committee room. The rest of them have not been able to attend. So, but I do want to hear what you have to say so that goes into the record regarding this particular bill. I'll reconvene this meeting again. We're debating right now. I don't know whether I'll go tomorrow or the balance of the week or what we're going to do. It's still up in the air due to the other heavy schedules we have. But I would like to go ahead with this one. I don't even have the prime sponsor here for this bill. So, you want to go ahead, Commissioner?
Yes. One second. What we tried to do in working with Representative Ulmer on this bill was find a way to increase penalties for third and subsequent DWI offenders without a large fiscal note from Department of Corrections. And as you may recall, I had originally had a bill that the governor sponsored that would decrease the penalties for DWLS. So basically we combined those two ideas and came up with a bill that does increase penalties for third and subsequent DWI offenders and decreases penalties for DWLS offenders, primarily those that are driving after their license has been suspended because they didn't have insurance.
Commissioner?
Yes.
I'd like to start with that one page that Representative Ulmer put out. It shows what the current law is, and on the right-hand column it shows what the committee substitute for House Bill 354 does. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Did she say for him?
Yes.
Okay, so then for the first DWI, there is no change. Am I correct there?
Yes, that's correct.
Now let's talk about that first DWI in a minute. The first offense, and what we don't have down here, is the amount of money of the fine. My memory serves me properly, it's $250. Am I correct?
I believe you are, and that would say current. I mean, that would say as it is.
Why couldn't we raise that to 500? you there?
Yeah, I don't know. There's no particular reason we couldn't raise it to 500, I suppose.
And then why couldn't we raise then the second DWI? Well, let's go to the second DWI. 20 days in jail, 1 year loss of license is the present law. This bill then states 20 days in jail, 1 year loss of license, quotations, possible to earn back limited license for last 60 days. My question to you is why?
A number of the people that worked on this were concerned about various instances that they knew of where somebody needed a limited license for the purposes of work, and that's the main reason for this.
Well, are we going to be more concerned with his lack of concern, or are we going to be concerned that he does not, on the second time, we don't want him to drink the third time, or in the first time, we don't want him to drink the second time and drive? Now, where is the emphasis going to be placed?
Well, I'm not really sure I totally understand the question, but basically, if as long as they're real strict stipulations put on the earning back of the license, I think it probably could work.
I guess my question is, why should it work?
So that they can get back to work, pay restitution, pay their fines off?
Should have thought of that before they got under the second offense. It's my particular position. Suppose we laid the second offense to $1,000 fine. Then the $100 or 100 days in jail, what does that do for you?
We're fine on that. The reason for that specific number was we wanted to make sure that there was no possible way that an offender would receive less jail time under this bill than he would currently. So we took the worst possible scenario with a third time DWI and a second time or subsequent DWLS offense, added the jail time possible in that scenario, and decided that they would have to come up with at least 100 days for a third time DWI so that there would not be any decrease in jail time under this bill. So that's why the 100 and corrections is fine with that.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but during back in the days about 1982, when we first started to write this bill, or 1981, I forget which, we had penalties in here very similar to this. There was no way that thing was going to happen then. They said it was too strict. So we cut it back down to what was reasonable amount over in the left-hand column here, and that passed. Now, what makes you think it's going to pass again? That's heavier sentences.
Well, again, we're looking at the more serious offenders, those people who, in the first two instances, have done their jail time and it's had no impact on them. So, at the very least, we want to incapacitate these people for a longer period of time. Also, that 100 days in jail will give them a little time to get involved in some treatment programs. So, basically, we just think that it makes better, it's better public policy than what we had before.
Well, if you increase the jail times, you're impacting the jails, the very thing you didn't want because we couldn't afford it. That's what I heard. Now, why don't we look at putting on real heavy fines on it and leaving the jail time, etc., as it is, down to the fifth one? What would be wrong in doing that? And leave it exactly the way it is, but put much heavier fines on it. Would that not do the same thing? And also, pay for the cost of these people in jail?
As you know, a lot of these people don't ever pay these fines anyway. A lot of them, you know, are pretty marginal in some ways and are not, you know, don't have steady jobs. So basically what I was looking for here was a revenue-neutral bill. The net effect of this bill, when you balance out the decrease in the DWLS penalties and the increase of the DWI penalties, is still a slight decrease in mandates for the Department of Corrections. So that's, I did a lot of compromising in the working out of this bill, but I'm still okay with it because it does not increase the number of people or the number of mandates actually in jail. And I still think at least it incapacitates the worst DWI offenders for a longer period of time. I think it'll have more impact on them.
Okay, go ahead with whatever you wish to say then. Let's get to the bottom two, the DWLR, the DWLS, based on court order revocation for first DWI, et cetera.
Okay.
Looks like you're reducing the penalty, is that right?
That's correct.
Why are we reducing it?
Essentially, my feeling is that the issue is not so much that people are driving, it's whether or not they're driving drunk. So, therefore, we increase the DWI penalty. There still needs to be a penalty for people who are driving with a suspended or revoked license, but as long as those folks aren't driving drunk, I don't think it needs to be more severe than the DWI penalties, and that's what the law currently does. People are actually hit harder in terms of penalties and jail time by driving with their suspended or revoked license than they are for DWI, and that seems just backwards to me. The issue really for the second, third, fourth time DWI, those are the people we should be hitting the hardest with penalties. So we just kind of realigned things here in a way that I think makes more sense.
Well, is the guy that drives with a suspended or revoked driver's license, these guys that do that, or these people that do that, are just as bad as anybody else. They're driving without insurance.
Well, I agree that there's a certain element of there's scoff laws. But I've talked to some folks like that, and they're saying, I'm in a double bind. I have to work in order to support my family, pay my fines. And if I don't work, I have no money, and that their license is suspended for such a long period of time that they end up driving while suspended anyway. And again, as long as they're not driving drunk, they're much less a danger to society. They're certainly flaunting the law, but again, I see them as less dangerous individuals, and therefore, I think the third and subsequent DWI offenses are the ones that we need to treat as the most serious.
Well, then I presume that Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving, they go right along with this too?
I'll let them speak for themselves. They're here.
Okay. I'd like to hear that, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is Alan Bailey. I'm Vice President of the MAD chapter and former prosecutor here in Anchorage. I'm speaking for the MAD chapter as well as myself and indicating that the MAD organization does support this measure. On the one hand, it does seem to subtract a little from the penalties that have been extracted from people driving on revoked and suspended licenses, but it on the other hand makes it mandatory that sentences for repetitive drunk drivers are escalated in a way that makes the sentences more meaningful. In the past, the sentences have been escalated in a lot of cases, but whether or not they're escalated enough to bring society's increasingly heavier hammer down on third and fourth and fifth time DWIs has depended on the judges and the prosecutors, quite frankly, and there's a wide variation in that across the state. One problem this bill does solve, we think, is the problem created by a court of appeals case that arose about 4 years ago, in which the court said a person who had never had a valid Alaska driver's license could not be charged with driving with his license revoked, even though he'd had any number of DWIs and license revocations, simply because he did not have a license to revoke. This bill solves that problem by adding to the offense of, or adding to the penalty imposed for DWI and other offenses, the suspension of the right to obtain a license. And driving while that right has been suspended is then penalized just the same as driving with a revoked license. It eliminates the situation where a person, I guess you'd call it a smart drunk from out of state, would just never obtain an Alaska license and would avoid a lot of severe penalties for the same kind of antisocial and dangerous behavior that Alaska license holders couldn't get away with.
Alan, I don't have the information at my fingertips. Isn't there a certain length of time that you've got to be in the States before you have to have a license, driver's, Alaska driver's license?
I was afraid you'd ask me that. I think it's 90 days or as soon as you get a job here. And after that, if you're working or you've been here 90 days, you have to have an Alaska driver's license. So whether you do or not, this bill would permit you to be punished as if you did, if you are charged with a driving offense and your license revoked as a result of it.
Well, Mike, I want to ask another question that perhaps you have the information. By changing it, does it... is it in conflict with any of the federal drunk driving laws?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it would be in conflict with any other state or any federal provision. There is pretty wide latitude on the part of the state to prohibit criminal conduct, and I know of no federal or any other provision that would be contradicted by this. If a person had a valid license, say, from California and came up here and got arrested for drunk driving and had his license revoked, if he didn't have an Alaska license, he would have to have his right to receive or right to obtain a license revoked, because the Alaska court could not revoke a California driver's license.
Well, I think what I was alluding to was the fact that we receive federal funds because of our drunk driving laws, and we conformed to them when we wrote the bill in 83. Now, does this change it enough where we'd not, in your, would you know whether or not that we'd be in conflict with it so we'd lose any federal funds?
No, this would not be in conflict with any federal requirements.
Would it cause us to lose any money because if we're changing it?
In my opinion, no.
Well, then you've changed your mind on the last two items on that, the differences between the current law and the bill, right?
I haven't, to tell you the truth, I haven't checked the federal minimum standard for penalties for DWLS recently, but I can't conceive of them being more stringent than what we would have even under this bill as passed.
No, I didn't have reference to the DWLS or LR. What I have reference to is those two where we reduced the penalties on it. You've changed your opinion and your mind on those two, have you not? Where we've made it less, right?
Well, naturally, I'm not, I guess, it's not my nature to favor reduced penalties for these particular offenses, but under the present economic climate, I think it's more important to have enhanced penalties for repeat drunk drivers than to keep the same penalties we have had for people driving on revoked licenses. And if it's necessary to do end up with a negative fiscal note, I think it's a compromise I can certainly live with.
Senator, this is Susan again. I did check what other states are doing with DWLS, and even with our reduced penalties, we're well in line with most other states on this issue.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to point out, Alan, that it was your provision. Those are your two provisions we put in the bill. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do, Senator. And like I say, if it weren't for what I think is a very real economic problem in getting the enhanced DWI penalties through, I wouldn't support reducing the DWLS.
So the bottom line, as I'm reading it all now, is that because of our economic condition in the state of Alaska, we're going to reduce the penalties for these people, and strictly an economic situation. So that in the event we have another big oil boom again, why then we'll change it back then, I presume, huh?
Well, I wouldn't think so. And there's also the interest of fairness, because if a person is arrested for DWI first time, he does 3 days. If he's arrested for DWLS first time, he does 10 days. Personally, I think DWI is a more dangerous offense. It certainly is not an offense against public authority like driving with a suspended license, but it's an offense against the safety of our citizens, and I think that's a higher priority when we're dealing with driving conduct.
Well, I note that Gail Horesky is here. Did you have any comments you wanted to make on this bill as far as legalities and things of that nature at this time?
No, Senator, thank you. I mainly came to observe.
I see. No, she doesn't have anything she wants to discuss at this point in time. Okay, go ahead.
What? I think that about concludes my comments. I think it's a real good schedule of enhanced penalties for DWIs, just to summarize. I think the revised penalties for driving with license revoked are more in, they have a favorable fiscal impact. They also give a greater appearance of fairness as far as in sentencing these two separate but sometimes related crimes, often related crimes, and they still provide what I think are meaningful penalties to offending drivers. There's one other thing that this bill does, and that is to allow, in a case of a person with two or more prior convictions on DWI, who gets a 10-year license revocation, to obtain a limited license for work purposes after 5 years have passed, provided that there is a breath test interlocked on the car or
that's true. We don't get only 5%.
The defendant, I believe, is taking antabuse. And I think it would be very important that be drawn tightly so that no other circumstances would be permitted for such drivers.
Okay, we've run out of time on the teleconference. I'm sorry about that. We only had about half an hour since we got started. But I get your, we get your message, and it's in the record, and we'll be referring to this again very shortly, I presume. I'd like to thank you for taking your time to come to the teleconference on it. We had to get some information from all of you at the same time, and I do want to thank you for it.
Senator Booth?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Barbara Mills. I would like to request that when this does come up again, that you give us a call and let us know.
Yeah, we'll get you back on if we can.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, it's difficult for me to make a decision. I'm not going to do it. I haven't got anybody to talk to. We're adjourned. Thank you.